This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Did you hear about the train derailment that wrought havoc on the environment and rained horror on the local community?
The cloud continues to travel west as residents are now being asked to relocate to Iron City, where local businesses...
Evacuate all places of residence. Cloud of deadly chemicals. Cloud of deadly chemicals.
That's actually a clip from the new movie White Noise, based on the Don DeLillo novel. Filmed in June and July of 2021 in Ohio, the same place a real train hauling hazardous materials derailed earlier this month.
A state of emergency has been declared for the village as they continue to evaluate this derailment.
An emergency crews unleashed a controlled release and burn of toxic chemicals to prevent a potentially deadly explosion.
Rail operator Norfolk Southern says a variety of chemicals were being carried in the train cars, but the highly flammable vinyl chloride remains the biggest concern.
That explosion was expected to release hydrogen chloride and phosgene, a gas used as a weapon in World War I.
Residents of East Palestine, Ohio, where the real derailment took place, were actually extras in White Noise, which depicted locals complaining about the spotty media coverage of the film's toxic airborne MacGuffin.
Are they telling us it was insignificant? Do they think this is just television? Don't they know it's real? Shouldn't the streets be crawling with cameras and reporters? Shouldn't we be yelling out the window at them? Leave us alone. We've been through enough already. Haven't we earned the right to despise their idiot questions? Even if there hasn't been great loss of life, don't we deserve attention for our suffering, our terror? Isn't fear news?
Sean Hannity asked much the same question on his show this week.
The media mob has largely ignored what is a growing disaster in Ohio.
TikTokers are mad, too.
Even though the media is refusing to cover it, there's a massive environmental disaster currently unfolding in Ohio.
And the coverage that it has been getting hasn't been very good.
There was this hazardous material specialist. His quote was, "We basically nuked a town with chemicals so we can get a railroad open." This should be the number one story in the country right now.
You have dead fish in the water. You have dead dogs on front lawns. People getting nauseous and sick. Despite all this, the media is refusing to cover it.
And in some ways, they have a point. The derailment happened on February 3rd, but coverage on outlets like Fox and MSNBC really only picked up steam this week. So why?
It's possible that some new details about the environmental and health impacts maybe drove that uptick, or it could just have been that it started to trend on Twitter. But either way, it still told us that they were very late to the significance of the tragedy.
Allison Fisher, director of the Climate and Energy Program for the progressive media watchdog Media Matters for America, points to the narratives taking over the story.
These ideas that because this is happening to a white community, the media is not paying attention to it, suggesting that if it happened in a community of color, that it would have been treated differently. And we know that that's not true because we've documented time and time again that those stories aren't covered either. We'd love those same voices to come out and say that when it happens in Flint or when it happens in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, when it happens in some of these other places that are also inflicted by corporate greed and the lack of government oversight. So do I think that there's a media blackout and there's some sort of conspiracy behind that? No, this just fits in with a long line of environmental degradation, industrial accidents that go uncovered. And as a result, those that are perpetuating them go unaccountable.
And Fisher says that even now, with all eyes on the aftermath of the crisis in Palestine, mainstream coverage is still meh.
It's who, what, when, where, without much context, without much detail or new information from hour to hour as they're reporting on the story. It was mystifying to me that TV news networks still approach these tragedies almost as acts of God or mere accidents, because eventually the information does start to come out.
Because the causes of the derailment are not a mystery. Late last year, rail workers were warning that something like this was bound to happen. Here's a clip from an interview a local reporter did in December.
We have one derailment here in Northeast Ohio where a wheel flange was very thin. It picked a switch and derailed the entire train. Luckily, it was full of candle wax and not something highly volatile.
Train accidents are becoming more common for a number of reasons.
Julia Rock is a reporter at The Lever, an online investigative outlet. She says that workers were striking over a practice called precision scheduled railroading, which hinders the thoroughness and frequency of safety inspections.
Inspection times are getting shorter or they're not happening. Trains are getting longer, which is sort of an unusual fact, but it allows train companies to run leaner workforces because the number of people per train doesn't increase linearly as the trains get longer. So that can cause more safety problems and crude oil and other hazardous materials being carried on trains has increased.
Still, derailments are old news.
It's believed a procedural problem caused this derailment in Paulsboro, New Jersey last Friday. The crash released vinyl chloride into the air and forced hundreds of people from their homes.
That was in 2012, and that New Jersey train was carrying the same chemical that was just unleashed in Ohio. Then this happened just a few days ago.
A train carrying at least one car's worth of hazardous materials has derailed outside of Detroit, Michigan.
In 2015, the Obama administration issued a rule requiring stronger safety measures on trains.
One of the sort of key features of that rule, the one that the railroad industry was most fixated on repealing, was one requiring electronically controlled pneumatic brakes on trains, essentially a much safer braking system that allows trains to stop all of the cars at once rather than one car at a time as they currently are stopped.
Julia Rock says those special brakes were required only on trains hauling hazardous materials. But when Trump came into office, the lobbyists prevailed. The brake requirement, limited as it was to substances like crude oil, was rolled back, increasing the likelihood of toxic crashes even worse than the one in Palestine. Rock says she's heard from former regulators, rail workers, and union members who all say the same thing.
Which was like, this is a bad derailment, but what we're worried about is something far worse happening. And, you know, what is surprising is not that this train derailed and released this plume of chemicals and started on fire. What's surprising is that this doesn't happen more often.
Because the derailment was a preventable, foreseeable disaster, the inevitable consequence of short-sighted policy and business decisions.
That's often, I think, surprising to people because they think of a disaster as an apolitical event, something we should rally around each other, rally around our community, and not talk about politics.
Scott Knowles is a historian of disaster. We spoke to him in 2017 after Hurricane Harvey slammed Texas's Gulf Coast.
But disasters reveal to us whether or not we've invested enough in our civil society. Do we have the kind of health care that we need? Do we have the kind of environmental protection that we need? And because disasters are so complex, it's all sort of revealed at once.
Allison Fisher of Media Matters says that's where good reporting comes in.
It does put pressure on public officials. It does help ensure that these companies are held accountable. And more importantly, it gives voice to those that have been impacted by the disaster.
Another reason to report early and often, the absence of details early on, nourishes conspiracies that bloom like algae in the void of unanswered questions.
I just feel like this is way worse than they are letting people know about because they don't want to cause alarm.
So let me get this right. Netflix released a movie last year about a train exploding in Ohio. And then this year, a train explodes in Ohio. Y'all think this was planned or y'all think this was a coincidence?
This is America's Chernobyl. And right now, there are many politicians that are going to try and blow this off and say, it's not as bad. You could still stay in your homes. Just don't breathe for too long. They're okay. was sacrificing Americans.
Such algae blooms go on to fuel factually challenged bloviators like Charlie Kirk, who says members of the Biden administration won't go to East Palestine because
the war on white people continues. Why would you care for the white working class voters in eastern Ohio? If this train derailment happened in downtown Atlanta, in the densely populated black neighborhoods, this would be the number one news story. It would be Flint water crisis 2.0. There would be clamoring and activism and talks for reparations.
The story in East Palestine is still unfolding. The causes may be clear, but the consequences aren't. And the EPA, which has been monitoring East Palestine's air and water to see if it's safe for humans to live there, has been steadily stripped of regulatory authority and funding. So what does that tell us?
I believe that disasters reveal society.
Disaster historian Scott Knowles.
They are an opportunity for us to actually pull back the curtain and see what some of the deeper commitments and values of a society actually are.
Disasters happen. They're caused by spasms of nature or late-stage capitalism, or frequently both. But the depth of the mayhem can be managed with attention and resources, research and regulation, institutions and infrastructure. Why they aren't is the theme of this hour. Coming up, what to expect when you're not expecting an earthquake in an earthquake zone. The answer will not surprise you. This is On the Media.